This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome here to the Christian War Room, and thank you, Dale, for this introduction. We're looking at some very bizarre stuff that's been happening in 2014, and we are seeing the results of it today as well. When you go to some Christian conferences, you should not be surprised if you see people, clergy, dressed with nice robes and nice skirts and little hats and so on. And when you inquire a little bit further, you recognize that they are bishops and dignitaries from Rome, from the Roman Church. And again, very, very confusing indeed at times. Now, in 2014, an Anglican bishop by the name of Tony Palmer, he's dead now. He died a few years ago in a motorbike accident, but he put it on his mission to unite all the churches under Rome. And he makes some very interesting arguments. And if you've missed the first half of the talk, you can still pick up on it. This is the second half of the talk by Doug Batchelor commenting on the talk between the Pope and Kenneth Copeland and Tony Palmer. What was going on there to sort of create this new unity under the banner of Rome? You know? So it's very, very disturbing for the likes of me who have come out of Rome and out of the Roman Church to see what is going on. I understand as well that at this conference where this was taking place, that a lot of people were so disgusted by it all, instead of, you know, clapping and, oh yeah, this is what we want and so on, they were so disgusted that they got up and walked out of the room. They didn't want to be a part of this, what I would say, apostasy. Anyway, if you want to do this, you can do this. Just go to christianwarroom.com. It's going to be Talk 75. So just go to the audio section, scroll down, look for Talk 75, and you can see the first half of this talk. Otherwise, you can also Google it and go on YouTube, and you can see him commenting on it as well. I think some of the speeches by the Pope there with subtitles, obviously, which I'm not going to talk over or anything like that, but Doug Batchelor is commenting on them, so just stick with me on here for the next 20 odd minutes. Okay, I'll hand it over to Doug Batchelor on the last time the Pope was talking, and Doug Batchelor comments on it, and then he carries on through the talk. You're listening to BPN Radio, you're listening to Seismic Radio, and we are in the Christian War Room, and we are looking at an attack on the church by forcing or imposing on us an unholy unity.
Now I think he's going to be playing his segment from the Pope.
Dear brothers and sisters, excuse me, because I speak in Italian, but I am not speaking English. But I will speak no Italian, no English, but carefully.
Now, first, I think the audience was thunderstruck when they saw the Pope come on the screen, that it actually is the Pope. This isn't a letter that's being read from the Pope. The Pope himself was specifically addressing this conference. Matter of fact, in the video message, he says, "I've sent my friend Tony Palmer, longtime friend, with this message." Makes you wonder about the gravitas that this person has in the Vatican, and if we're going to be seeing more of them in the future. And again, I want to reiterate that, you know, the greatest part of Christ's true followers are not members of my church. I believe that there are genuine, sincere Christians in many different denominations. The Pope himself seems like a wonderful man. He reminds me of my grandfather. He looks just like my grandfather, really. But I just want to make sure that everybody is not tricked into thinking that this is all as homey and heartfelt as it's being made to appear. It is very possible that this message was somewhat scripted, that there were some notes that were reviewed, and then it was delivered extemporaneously, but there was an outline. And so this message, I think, is strategic. It might have been put on a smartphone so that it appears to be just on the cuff. But let's keep watching.
È una lingua più semplice e più autentica. E questa lingua del cuore ha un linguaggio e una grammatica speciale. La grammatica semplice, due regole. Ama Dio soprattutto e ama l'altro perché è tuo fratello e la tua sorella. E con queste due cose andiamo avanti.
That is the statement that I hear as I do evangelism around the country and the world from other Christians. They say, we don't need the Ten Commandments. We don't need the Sabbath. It is true. The Ten Commandments are summarized in love for God, love for your neighbor. It's in the heart. But sometimes those statements are used to diminish the importance of specifically obeying God's commandments. And so while this is beautiful, and I do agree we need to love the Lord and love our neighbor, that is not to dismiss the importance of specifically obeying the Ten Commandments. Let's go ahead.
Io sono qui con mio fratello, mio vescovo fratello, Tony Palmer. Siamo amici da anni. E lui mi ha detto del vostro compagno, del vostro raduno. Con piacere vi invio un saluto gioioso e nostalgico. Gioioso perché a me dà gioia che voi siete riuniti per lodare Gesù Cristo, l'unico Signore, per pregare al Padre e ricevere lo Spirito. E questo dà gioia perché si vede che il Signore lavora in tutto il mondo. È nostalgico perché, ma succede come nei quartieri fra noi, no? Nei quartieri ci sono famiglie che si vogliono e famiglie che non si vogliono, famiglie che si uniscono e famiglie che si separano. E noi siamo un po', mi permetto la parola, separati.
So he's basically saying that I greet you with joy that you're gathered together to worship Jesus, but I'm also doing it with nostalgia or yearning, as it would be translated in Italian, meaning I'm looking back to when we were one family, and we need to be one family again is the emphasis of the message.
Separati perché i peccati ci hanno separati, i nostri peccati. I malintesi nella storia, ma una lunga strada di peccato comunitario. Ma chi ha la colpa? Tutti abbiamo la colpa. Tutti siamo peccatori.
Now, to me, this could be the biggest understatement of the millennium, that all those 30 to 50 million people that were executed by the Catholic Church, this was a big misunderstanding, and we don't know who's to blame. Well, I think it's because there was such a great divergence of theology that people would not recognize the superiority and the authority of the Church, and I don't believe that they've changed their view on that point.
Soltanto uno è giusto, il Signore. Io ho la nostalgia che questa separazione finisca e ci dia la comunione. Io ho nostalgia di quell'abbraccio di qua, nel quale parla la Sacra Scrittura, quando i fratelli di Giuseppe, affamati, sono andati a Egitto.
And now here the Pope transitions into a discourse that's really brilliant, talking about an embrace. And then he references the story of Joseph. And as he talks about the story of Joseph, make sure that you understand the pictures that are coming up in the minds of the listeners. He is couching himself in the Catholic Church as Joseph. Joseph that was misunderstood and betrayed by his brothers. But his brothers began to starve for what only Joseph could give them. And that they came and ultimately bowed down to Joseph. And Joseph ended up being the ruler over them. They had been separated from their brother, but they came and embraced him in the end. Joseph embraced his brothers and he forgave his brothers for what they had done. So you decide as you're watching this little analogy, who's Joseph in the story?
Per comprare, per poter mangiare. Ma andavano a comprare, avevano i soldi, ma non potevano mangiare i soldi. E lì hanno trovato qualcosa più del pasto. Hanno trovato il fratello. Tutti noi abbiamo dei soldi, i soldi della cultura, i soldi della nostra storia, di tante ricchezze culturali, anche religiose, tradizioni diverse. Ma dobbiamo trovarci come fratelli. E dobbiamo piangere insieme, come ha fatto Giuseppe. Quel pianto che unisce, pianto dell'amore. Io vi parlo come fratello. E vi parlo così, semplicemente, con gioia e nostalgia. Facciamo crescere la nostalgia, perché questo ci spingerà a trovarci, abbracciarci e a lodare Gesù Cristo come unico Signore della storia. Vi ringrazio tanto per sentirmi. Vi ringrazio tanto per lasciarmi parlare la lingua del cuore. E vi chiedo anche un favore, di pregare per me, perché ho bisogno delle vostre preghiere. Io prego per voi, lo farò, ma io ho bisogno delle vostre preghiere e pregare al Signore perché ci unisca tutti. E avanti, siamo fratelli, ci diamo spiritualmente questo abbraccio e lasciamo che il Signore finisca l'opera che Lui ha incominciato. Perché questo è un miracolo, il miracolo dell'unità è incominciato. E dice uno scrittore italiano, il Manzoni, famoso, dice questa frase in un romanzo, un uomo semplice del popolo dice questa frase: non ho trovato mai che il Signore abbia incominciato un miracolo senza finirlo bene. Lui finirà bene questo miracolo dell'unità.
Well, friends, I tried to just let the Pope speak uninterrupted because I thought it was important for you to get this, and I just really can't improve on it. There's an appeal. We embrace each other, a miracle of unity, that we blend our tears together, that we're all brothers. This is really an appeal for wayward Protestants to come home. By the way, when Joseph's brothers found Joseph, they ended up moving down to Egypt where Joseph was. I'll let him finish this off.
Vi chiedo di benedirmi e io vi benedico. Di fratello a fratello. Un abbraccio. Grazie.
Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Tony, thank you, sir. Come on, the man asked us to pray for him. Oh, Father.
Now, Pastor Kenneth Copeland comes up, who was really a disciple of Oral Roberts himself. He's probably one of the most premier charismatic leaders in North America. Also is a pretty well-known prosperity preacher. But interesting that Pastor Ken Copeland and Pope Francis are both 77 years old. So they're coming from the same era. After this room full of, these aren't just laymen, these are leaders, these are ministers in the charismatic movement. They hear this message from the Pope. They rise to their feet, they applaud, they raise their hands in the air, and they think this is wonderful. Seem to be embracing what the message is saying. Let's keep going.
Father, we answer his request. And since we know not how to pray for him as we ought, other than to agree with him in his quest and in his heart for the unity of the body of Christ. We come together in the unity of our faith. Hallelujah.
It just seems to me like he's agreeing with what the Pope said, that we're going to come together in the unity of our faith. Just wanted to make that point. Let's keep going.
So, Father, we just, all of us now, according to Scripture, when we know not how to pray as we ought, we pray for him in the Spirit. We receive utterance in the Holy Ghost. We receive prayers of faith. We receive, sir, we receive words that are not our own. Crema nalo como po, mare clanglo, boble y quemplino, mare vale compara.
I don't see any example in the Bible of Jesus praying like this. Jesus said, you will speak with other tongues. He meant that the disciples would supernaturally be given the ability to speak languages they did not formally know or study for the purpose of preaching gospel to people that speak those languages.
La del glumo meno tele aschepe. Ve folo puma mamma e tele clemene chido. Popolo mai a tale endole come meste stelo clo fra il lebo le camana. Bramande che dico pomma bles do boschire tele cheto la campagla nena ma clo ma hala larghero che le veno. Breto steschi manetello. Kerebana, kerebana, palo come un po' le che tu le stindo dopo le cava. Oh, hallelujah, 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 glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Father, thank you, Father, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tony, bring your phone in. Come here. I want you to video a message back. Come up here. And let's do it this way so he can see this whole congregation.
So now, it's actually a brilliant idea for marketing purposes that Kenneth Copeland says, now we'd like to send a personal message back to the Vatican, back to the Pope.
So I've got to go to the Vatican again.
Yes. I'm ready, sir. My dear sir. My dear sir, thank you so from the bottom of our hearts. All of these leaders represent
literally tens of thousands of people that love you, that believe God with you, and in answer to your request, we have just prayed for you and with you, and we did so in the Spirit. And we believe we receive, according to the words of Jesus in Mark 11:24, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Our desire, sir, along with you, is in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Thank you, sir. We do bless you. We receive your blessing. It's very, very important to us. And we bless you with all of our hearts. We bless you with all of our souls. We bless you with all of our might. And we thank you, sir. We thank God for you. And so, all of us declare together, be blessed. Once again, all together. Be blessed. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
You're going to have to come to the wedding.
I will. I'm available. Praise God.
So, Bishop Tony was now inviting Kenneth Copeland to come to the Vatican. It'll be interesting to see if that happens and how that plays out. Also, I don't think anyone could miss that they seem to embrace the message of the Pope for unity. Say, we want your blessing and we want to bless you.
God's will be done. Amen. Tony, thank you, sir. My, how you've blessed this place tonight.
I love you.
Give him a love, baby.
Thank you.
Amen. Woo! I told you you'd never forget it. Yeah. Whoa. I tell you, I'm telling you right now, heaven is thrilled over this. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know what's so thrilling to me? I mean, when we went into the ministry 47 years ago, this was impossible.
That's right. He recognized how much things have changed since he first went into ministry, because the charismatics and the Pentecostals were very much Protestant, and they taught that the beast of Revelation back then was the Catholic Church. Things have radically changed, and you can see that in black and white in their teaching. Well, friends, I'd like to just close by reading something to you, and then I would like to suggest that you do a little further study. This is from chapter 35 in the book Great Controversy, and you tell me if you think the prophecy is being fulfilled. Romanism is now regarded by Protestants with far greater favor than in former years. In those countries where Catholicism is not in the ascendancy and the papists are taking a conciliatory course in order to gain influence, there's an increasing indifference concerning the doctrines that separate the Reformed churches from the papal hierarchy. The opinion is gaining ground that, after all, we don't differ so widely on vital points as had been supposed, and so a little concession on our part will bring us into a better understanding with Rome. The time was when Protestants placed a high value upon the liberty of conscience, which has been so dearly purchased, They taught their children to harbor popery, and they held to seek harmony with Rome would be disloyalty to God. But how widely different are the sentiments now expressed. Again, Great Controversy, page 563. Friends, today this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. In light of all these things that are happening, I know now why the Lord helped us get through 3.5 years in producing one very important 90-minute DVD. This is a docudrama that Amazing Facts has just released. It's called Revelation, The Bride, the Beast, and Babylon. And if you watch this, you will understand why these issues are so significant and how close we are to the end of time. But I want to emphasize in closing that this is just one more important landmark in prophecy. There's still a lot left to happen that we need to understand. But even knowing the details of prophecy is not going to be the thing that will save us. We need to have a daily personal relationship with Jesus that's based on His truth and His Word. Are you studying the Word? Do you walk with the Lord? It's the truth that will set you free, friends. We need to pray that if there's anything that we're holding back that's keeping us from really surrendering ourselves fully to Jesus, taking up our cross and following Him, that you'll choose to do that today. Have you ever wondered what it would look like when prophecies are fulfilled? What more can you expect than personal messages from the Pope to Protestants? I think we're seeing these things happen right now.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Batchelor, for this talk. Very, very interesting. Very important as well to sort of take on board what he's been saying. I had to think about, you know, Galatians again. What the Pope says was really nice, really positive, really good. But it wasn't the truth. That's a problem, you know. There was deception in it. We cannot have unity at any price. We cannot have unity because he's saying nice and pretty words. But all the basis, everything that's underneath him, the stuff he's standing on is just a pile of rubbish. It's just a pile of dung. It is not the truth. It is not the golden, the golden walls we should be standing on, the golden walls of the Word of God, if I can try and use this analogy. But we have to be very, very careful. We have got warnings in the Bible from all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation about false teachers, about false doctrine, about deception. And we need to be on the alert, very much on the alert. True unity, again, as I mentioned before, it is only in Christ. It is not through institutions. And we should shy away from that. Now, if people preach a different gospel, if they proclaim to be Christians, but they preach a different gospel, we should keep away from them. We shouldn't harm them or destroy them or anything like that, but we should keep away from them. And at the same time, proclaim the truth and possibly point out their error in love towards them and also towards other people, so that people can see what is the truth, what is the Word of God, and what is a lie, and where is the deception. We need to point this out. That is our job, and that is what we should be doing in the war room. Now, the exercise Doug Batchelor did was a typical war room exercise. He looked at something that was pushed out there. A lot of Christians have fallen for it, and they are in danger of being deceived even further once these organizations who are foreign to the Word of God come into our groups, into our communities, and try to introduce lots and lots and lots of leaven. We need to stop them. Okay, God bless. We have to come to the end. God bless. The altar is coming from there. You know, stay close to Jesus. Very, very important.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.